my prayer is this, is we would have humility in receiving that. I pray that we would be mutually sharpened, encouraged ngayong umaga. So, napakaganda ng mensahe ni Dr. Sam, the holiness of God, and now we're gonna think through how are we gonna apply that sa ating mga buhay, especially po kung kayo ay pastor or aspiring to be a pastor ng inyong church. Kung kayo hindi pastor, it's still a good thing to listen and learn from this, and maybe one day you would aspire into that, or even be an encouragement sa inyong mga pastor, right? To be accountable and be faithful kung anong tinatawag sa kanila ng Panginoon. So what an amazing thing to hear the holiness of God transcends ating mga utak, right? It's such beautiful, his beauty and his holiness, that he exists in three persons, and it is amazing. That's all I can say, that the beauty, and we can enjoy this holy God sa ating mga buhay. So the focus of my talk would be the pastor's holiness. So meron pong dalawang part ito. Yung part ko is watch your teaching, or holiness in teaching. And then si Pastor Alvin would talk about watch your life. So ito po yung nanggaling sa 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16, nung sinabi ni Paul, keep a close watch to yourself, that's your life, and on the teaching. Meaning, watch your life and your doctrine. For by so doing, you will save your hearers and yourself. So yan po ang kumbaga theme natin. So watch your life and doctrine or your teaching. So I'm going to talk about watching our teaching or our holiness in teaching. So yung roadmap ko po, yung outline ng talk would be divided sa tatlong category or tatlong sections. Yung una, I'm going to talk about first, I'm going to establish a foundation para sa pagpapastor at sa church. So I'm going to talk about the dignity of the office of the pastor and the unsurpassable beauty of the church. Medyo mahaba po, I think wala dyan. But the first is the dignity of the office of the pastor and the unsurpassable beauty of the church. And then yung second, the pastor's holiness in study. Okay, the pastor's holiness in study. And the third, the pastor's holiness in teaching. So yan po yung tatlo. Okay, let's go to the first one, the dignity of the office of the pastor and the unsurpassable beauty of the church. So I'm gonna open 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We are gonna answer the question in this verse. Sabi ni Paul kay Timothy, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone, or in Greek, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, ano po yung overseer? Pastor or bishop. We use that interchangeably, overseer, pastor, bishop. He desires a noble task. So we want to answer the question, why is the office of the pastor a noble task? Why is it desiring to be a pastor a noble task? Sa ating po mga Pilipino, we have a challenge sometimes if we are aspiring to be a pastor or we are eyeing for that office. It could be perceived sometimes na parang it's an arrogant aspiration. Di po ba? Parang, oh, bakit mo gusto maging pastor? Gusto mo maging boss? No, actually the Bible says it's a beautiful thing. Aspiring to be a pastor is a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. In fact, the Bible tells us a noble task. Why? So turn with me in Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 28. Acts chapter 20. Also, by the way, meron din tayong screen. Meron tayong verses screen, so naka-flash yan. You could also follow along the screen. So Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Maybe I'll read 27 first. Sabi ni Paul, so ang context is Paul is talking with the Ephesian elders bago siya bumalik ng Jerusalem. And ito yung charge niya sa mga pastor ng Ephesus. So verse 27, sabi niya, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Okay? I did not shrink in declaring the whole counsel of God. Now, verse 28, listen to this. Pay careful attention to yourselves, sa inyong mga buhay. Remember, makausap niya yung mga pastor ng Ephesus. Pay careful attention to yourselves and, hindi lang sa buhay niyo, to all the flock. What is that? In church. Pay careful attention to yourself and to the flock. Now listen to this. In which the Holy Spirit has made you, mga pastor, overseers. Makita niyo yun? The Holy Spirit has made you pastors. Okay? Two, anong trabaho ng pastor? To care for the church of God. Now listen to this. Care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I want to segue a little bit. Did you notice the triunity of this passage? I'm glad Dr. Sam talked about that. You see the Holy Spirit, you see God, you see Jesus. We serve a holy triune God. And imagine, pastors, the triune God makes you pastors. Yes, it's a church. We ordain pastors, but we call them up, we lay hands on them. However, ultimately, spiritually, theologically, it is the triune God, the holy God, makes pastors. That is why being a pastor is a noble task. It is not prideful, it is not arrogant, it is not presumptuous, it is a noble task. Yes, alam natin, merong mga pastor na gusto maging pastor kasi gusto nilang yumaman, gusto nilang masunod sa lahat ng gusto nila. But we're not talking about that. Okay? Our focus here is the faithful pastors who are called and made pastors by God Himself. The Holy Triune God makes these pastors. That's why it is a noble task. So that is the dignity of the office of the pastor. Again, it's not presumptuous. Hindi ito arroganting aspiration. Ito ay mabuting aspiration. So men, yung mga hindi pa pastor dito, I would encourage you, aspire. Aspire to be a pastor. But of course, may mga qualifications yan. We will talk about them more. But hindi lahat basta-basta maging pastor, but there are qualifications, there are characteristics, meron mga character na required ang Bible. Okay? So we wanna think about that. But brothers, it is not an arrogant thing to desire, aspire to be a pastor. It is a beautiful thing. Okay. Again, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you pastors. Two, anong trabaho natin? To care for the church of God. How do we care? By the ministry of the word and prayer. Marami sa atin, marami tayong expectations sa pastor. Right? Dapat, gusto ko pastor ganito. Dapat ganyan. Dapat hindi ganyan ang gupit ng pastor. Bakit nakatayo buhok niyan? Hindi pwede yan sa pastor. Di ba? Dami expectation. Bakit si pastor hindi ako binibisita? Bakit di ako binibilan ng biryani? The pastor's job is to care for us, lead us in the ministry of the word and prayer. Bonus na lang yung iba. Okay? Kung si Pastor Alvin, binilaki ng biryani, aba, magpasalamat kayo. Okay? Bonus na yon. So that's the job of the pastor, to care for the church of God. Kaninang church ito? Hindi sa pastor. Church of God, the holy triune God which we saw in Isaiah 6. Sa kanyang church ito. Now, I want you to pay closely attention itong last phrase. Which he, sino yun? Jesus obtained with his own blood. There's just nothing on earth that God himself, the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer of the whole cosmos, died for. Only this one, the church. That is why the church has this unsurpassable beauty. Mabuti, maganda, at glorious ang ating mga simbahan. Why? God himself, the Holy Triune God, obtained this by what? By his own blood. By his own life and death and resurrection. Kaya tayo magkakasama sa church dahil doon. Nothing can surpass that. I know, messy ang mga church natin. May mga gaaway, may mga marites. Diba? But God gave his life for the church. We have Gulf Theological Seminary here. Yes, I studied there. It's great. But God did not die for a seminary or a government office or a building, whatever it is, or a charity organization. God himself, the Holy God, died only for what? The church. That is why it is unsurpassable sa kanyang beauty. Another passage that I want to look at is Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read from verses 8 through 13. Ephesians chapter 3. To me, si Paul ang nagsasalita. Again, ito'y para sa church ng Ephesians or ng Ephesus. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, ano daw ang trabaho ni Paul? To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to bring to life, listen to this, for everyone, meaning Jews and Gentiles, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Now listen to this. Verse 10. So that through the church, the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose, or according to the providence or purposeful sovereignty of God that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So, let me break that down very briefly. First, let's talk about the wisdom of God. Okay? It is the manifold wisdom of God. It is eternal. It is unsurpassable. It is beautiful. It's lahat na ng superlative, sabi nga ni Dr. Sam. Imagine that infinite wisdom, which supposedly no one can ever know, pero sabi ni Lord, actually, you can, not fully, but truly, through that church. We can know the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God through that church. This blows my mind. Like, we are able to know truly, not fully, not exhaustively, but truly what has revealed to us through the church. And papaano? Through the preaching of the Word of God. And for that, you need pastors. You need preachers. You need pastors. You see, my goal now is for you to help you see the connection of the office of the pastor and the church. And it's just glorious when you see this. Okay, that's the first. I want to set that up, like the big picture or the foundation of the pastor and the church. So that's the first one, the dignity of the office of the pastor and unsurpassable beauty of the church. So now we're going to talk about the pastor's personal holiness. And before that, I want to direct you to the book of the pastoral epistles. And I know most of us are familiar with this, right? Like 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Dahil itong mga libro na ito ay given to us as containing extensive, again, not exhaustive, I'm not using that word, but extensive instructions for the church. Okay? If you want to know more about the church, you want to know how to become a pastor, who can be pastors, who can be deacons, how should we lead the church, what are the members' responsibilities, go to the pastoral epistles and more. But the pastoral epistles has been given to us to consult for that. So I want to show that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Again, kausap ni Paul si Timothy. Si Timothy ay nasa Ephesus. For some reason, nasa Ephesus tayo. Kausap ni Paul, sumulat si Paul kay Timothy sa chapter 1. Sabi ni Paul, verse 3, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus. So, nasa Ephesus sila, umalis si Paul, punta siya ng Macedonia. Okay? So that, ang purpose ni Paul, so that you may charge certain persons. And then lay down your instructions. Okay? So, chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, sabi ni Paul, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things. So, I'm writing 1 Timothy, and I think by extension, 2 Timothy, and then kay Titus, so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. In short, ano ibig niya sabihin? Wala ako dyan. Kung madedelay ako, itong mga sinulat ko ay instructions para sa'yo, Timothy, na i-implement mo sa church. That's why we're looking at the passages in the pastoral epistles. Okay, so yung mga verses na titignan ko mamaya will be coming from the pastoral epistles. I think except one, which is yung James. Okay, so we've set it up, yung big picture, the office of the pastor in the church, pastoral epistles. Now let's look at the pastor's holiness and teaching. But again, yung topic ko is holiness and teaching or what you're teaching. However, we cannot really talk about teaching without talking about study. You cannot teach if you haven't labored studying God's word. Okay, so that's our first task. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Sabi ni Paul, basahin ko uli yung verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, sorry, by the way, let me read the first 7 chapters. I think it's important. I know Pastor Alvin would spend a lot of time on this, but itong 3, 1 to 7 ay qualifications ng pastor. So I will just read it. I'm not gonna go through it. I'm just gonna go to the verse 2. Okay, that saying is trustworthy. If any man, it's a Greek, aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, ngayon, ito na yung mga qualifications. And it's right to have the holy fear. Therefore, an overseer or a pastor must be above reproach. Hindi ibig sabihin sinless, above reproach. Yan yung overarching theme ng qualifications. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. I will focus on that later, okay? Not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Verse 4, he must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? And he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Okay, there's a lot of qualification, I think 15 or so. But I'm not going to focus on those. I'm just going to focus on verse 2. yung last part, which is able to teach. So parang siningit lang ni Paul, no? Okay, kailangan marunong siya magturo or able siya magturo. Pero anong ibig sabihin talaga nun? Anong ibig sabihin ni Paul sa able to teach? Again, pastoral epistles, yung Titus, sinulat ni Paul almost at the same time ng 1 Timothy. And if you flip sa, or look on the screen, if you flip sa Titus 1 verse 9, sabi ni Paul, dinify niya yung ability to teach. Okay? Sabi niya, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. Okay? He must hold firm. Dapat alam niya to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may, there's two things here, so that he may be able to give instructions, that's teaching, in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So there's twofold. Actually, three. Kung nakuha niya yung una, the ability to hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. That meaning, you know God's word. You know in the in and out of God's word. Like you know, you've read your Bible. You've studied it well. You hold it firm. Para saan? So that he may be able to give instruction. That means, if you don't study enough, you will not be able to teach. Okay? You will not. Or, ituturo mo lang yung mga sarili mong wisdom, which is not according to God's word. So you need to be able to hold God's word firm. Okay. And you, second part is to rebuke. You know, how can you rebuke a false teaching kung ikaw mismo hindi mo alam yung false teaching? Being a pastor is hard. Right? We are going to be accountable. So that means, sabi rin sa Acts 6, that's why our priority as pastors is the ministry of the word, or are the ministry of the word, and prayer. That's it. Hindi natin kailangan gawing komplikado. That means the bulk of our time should be spent in studying God's word. Kagaya ni Ezra, di ba? Kanina, kaya ako binasa yung Ezra, by the way, to study God's word, to do it, okay, hindi pwedeng study tapos teach. No, study, do it, right? Do it for yourself and exemplify it sa mga members mo, and then teach it. So the bulk of our time should be spent on that. Of course, on top of our normal working rhythm. And I know most of you are bivocational pastors, meaning meron kayong full-time job and pastor din kayo. Diba? But Acts 6 allude to that. Kung familiar kayo sa story ng Acts 6, maraming nagko-complain, diba? Yung mga Hellenists, hindi napapakain yung mga widow namin. Sabi dun sa 12. Pero anong sagot nila? So, yung pala, pag-bring nila ng concern is, meaning, hoy, pastor, kailangan pakainin mo to. Ikaw ang leader, so ikaw dapat ang gumawa nito. No. Anong sabi nila? No, that's not our job. Find 7 men. Humanap kayo ng 7 lalaki. Para ano, makapag-focus kami sa ministry of the word and prayer. And as a pastor, that's our job. Okay? And sadly, we live in a time na sobrang busy natin, especially sa Dubai, di ba? Daming ganap sa buhay, right? Ang dami rin counseling, ang daming etc., etc. And kapag naging busy tayo, anong unang nawawala? Study, right? Kay pastor ka nga o hindi eh. Di ba? Anong unang nawawala? Yung study. Kasi wala naman nakakakita niyan eh. So I look good here now because I'm teaching you. But it's not the same kapag mag-isa lang ako sa table ko at nag-aaral. Wala naman nakakakita nun, di ba? So we are drawn to just, okay, punta na lang ako doon sa ano, sa counseling session, sa Bible study, sa ganito. And we busy ourselves sa mga magagandang bagay, okay? But sometimes not our priority, not our primary responsibilities as pastors. Okay? So we want to be mindful of that. Another verse I want to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Sabi ni Paul, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Ano yung these things? Yung instructions para sa church. Yung 1 Timothy na book, or yung pastoral epistles, or the whole counsel of God. Okay? If you put these things sa church mo, Timothy, you will be a good servant. I mean, imagine God calling us a good servant. How? By putting these things sa ating church. Being trained in the words of the faith. And listen to this. And of the good doctrine, okay? Good teaching that you have, ano yung sumunod? Followed. Right? Teaching and living. Kailangan magkasama po yan. Okay? Doctrine and healthy living goes together. Hindi po sila pwede magkahiwalay. So even yung pastor mismo, yes, they need to study, they need to teach, but they need to do it themselves. Have nothing, look at verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, mga walang saysay, silly, hindi po yung silly ng anghang ha, silly myths, meaning katawa-tawa, diba? Walang kwentang haka-haka. Sabi ni Paul, huwag niyong sayangin yung oras niyo dyan. Walang saysay ang mga yan. Tigilan niyo yan. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, ito dapat gawin mo, train yourself for godliness. Why? For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. Ano ibig sabihin? Train yourself for godliness, brother pastors. Ano ibig sabihin nun? Study God's Word, do God's Word, and teach God's Word. That's godliness. Kahit nga hindi ka pastor eh, di ba? Study God's Word, live out God's Word, and teach God's Word. Para sa ating lahat po yan. Next is 1 Timothy 5:17. Sabi ni Paul, let the elders or let the pastors who rule well, how do they rule? With the ministry of the word and prayer, ruling, governing, overseeing, caring. Magkakapatid po yan, okay? Let all the pastors who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Ano po yung ibig sabihin ng worthy of double honor? Means, pasawarin mo yung pastor mo. I'm not gonna talk about that. I'm not joking because verse 18 says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it turns out the grain and the laborer deserve his wages. Okay, but set aside, that's not my topic. But let the elders who rule well. So merong ruling, pero merong ruling well. Okay? Hindi pareho yon. Merong ruling, governing, overseeing, but merong faithful ruling, meaning ruling well, be considered worthy of double honor, especially, hear this, especially those who labor. Studying and teaching is a laborious work. Kung hindi kayo napapagod sa pag-prepare, there's something wrong. If you're not wrestling, if you're not spending hours and hours trying to see what the passage means, there's something wrong. You cannot just stand in a pulpit and expect, you know, great things to happen and, oh, meron ako narinig na revelation, ito sasabihin ko sa'yo. No! It is labor. Sorry, napapasigaw ako. Yung kape napasobra ako kanina. Naubusan kasi. And then medyo napasobra yata inom ko. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. It is a laborious work, mga kapatid. And it's a glorious work. Again, if you remember, iba, why is it a noble task? Because God made you pastors. At the same time, you will be accountable sa iyong mga ginawa. You will be accountable with the souls of your congregation and accountable in your teaching. Okay? Next, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. All right. I like this verse. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. So, paano, di ba? How can we do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved? Sabi pa, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. Okay, paano natin mapapresent tayong sarili natin as best to God? Does one approve? A worker, manggagawa, minister, who has no need to be ashamed? Paano? Hindi, basta magpapakabait ako, basta magkagawa ko nito, basta kausapin ko si member ganito. No! Rightly handling the word of truth. That's what we are called for, mga kapatid na pastor. We need to rightly handle the word of truth. We are dealing with life and death here. Eternal destiny hangs in the balance. We need to rightly handle the word. And Titus 1:9, which is we've explored earlier, kanina, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction. The only reason you could teach is if you study well enough. Show me a preacher, like a great preacher who preaches faithfully, and I will show you a man who has labored hundreds of hours on his desk. O kaya sa food court, o kaya sa coffee shop, sa Starbucks. And also to rebuke those who contradicted. Mga kapatid, sa church, nagkalat na mga false teachers. Sa church natin, sa mga ibang church, dito sa UAE, sa Pilipinas, at sa ibang bansa, nagkalat na ang mga false teachers. Okay? Huwag na kayong dumagdag. Please lang. Sobra-sobra na. Huwag na kayong dumagdag. The pastor ought to be a theologian. Okay, now maybe I'm using big words here, pero hindi pa kasi laki ng mga English ni Dr. Sam kanina, no, na medyo na ano ko eh. The pastor should be a theologian. Ano ibig sabihin? You need to know the Bible better than your congregation. Why? Hindi naman sila tinawag maging pastor, ikaw eh. Right? You need to be a theologian. Big words, pero ano ba ibig sabihin? Theology meaning study God. That's it. Right? You need to be a theologian. And then, if our job is to care for the church, may magpapa-counsel sa'yo, may magtatanong sa'yo, anong sasabihin mo kung hindi ka nag-aaral? Sasabihin mo yung mga current events, diba? Yung mga kwento. No. We will be accountable sa ating Diyos. Again, sabi ko kanina, this is a matter of life and death. Now I'm going to go to the some practical applications. We've looked at yung mga verses, some of the verses. We're going to look at the practical applications to expand our biblical knowledge. So if we want to be a theologian, so when I say that, I'm not saying we need to be Charles Spurgeon or Dr. Sam Parkinson. I mean, it's good if we can, right? But I'm saying that is we need to know the Bible better than our congregation. So how can we extend our biblical knowledge? Some practical applications. Dalawa lang. Number one, develop a lifestyle. I'm using the word lifestyle of study. Makinig kayo ha. Dito tayo laging pumapalya. Not only when you're preaching or teaching or when you're preparing to teach or preach. Kailan kayo nagpre-prepare ng sermon? That week. This is not to convict you, but maybe this is. Sabi ng mentor ko, if you're preparing the sermon that you're gonna preach that Sunday, this week, you're not ready. You're not ready. Di ako nagsabi niya, kung galit kayo, sasabihin kayo pangalan ng mentor ko. So siya ang awayin niyo, okay? Di ako nagsabi niya na. But I think there's some value in taking that in a humble posture, di po ba? So ano ibig natin sabihin? Develop a lifestyle of study. Kaya ako ginamit yung lifestyle, incorporate nyo sa buhay nyo yung Word of God. Read your Bible from cover to cover every year. Build your foundation. Sadly, maraming pastor na hindi pa, okay, I'm not saying this in a legalistic posture. Okay, I want to be careful. But I think I need to say this. Maraming mga pastor ni hindi pa nabasa ang buong Bible. And that is true. Which is a disaster para sa church. Okay? Sabi ko sa inyo, mga kapatid, marami ng false teachers, huwag na kayong dumagdag. We need to know our Bible better. Instead of reading a few verses a day, try to read in bigger chunks. Ano ibig sabihin? Di ba, kadalasan yun. Ano na tayo eh? TikTok era. Di ba? TikTok Bible na ngayon. One or two verses, kaka-flash sa TikTok, yun na yung Bible verse natin for today. Inspired tayo, motivated tayo to go to work. And then share mo na kay misis, share mo na kay kapatid. I mean, you will not grow. Why? Una-una, wala ka sa context. Okay? That's one. That's another whole sermon. But try to read at least 4 or 5 or even more chapters a day. Ang hirap naman yan, bro. O, pero nasa Netflix ka na 3 oras. Ano yung uso ngayon? Yung when life gives you, ano yun? Diba? Nakikiyak ka kay misis. No! Spend like 4 to 5 chapters. Gano'ng katagal yan? 20, 30 minutes. Tapos yan. Right? By the way, hindi ko pa yung napanood. Ha? Narinig ko lang. Kasi nagpapasa ang Bible. Eh. Joke lang. Read at least 4 to 5 chapters. Aim to read 4 to 5 chapters. Not 45, ha? 4 to 5 chapters a day. And here's what I want you to hear. Read to learn. Read to learn. It is a book. It is God's Word. We need to study it. We need to meditate it. We need to digest. We need to wrestle with this to know more of God and what He's done in Christ. That's the point. Don't just read just to feel good for the day, just to feel inspired for the day. Read to learn. Isa pa, I know, again, mga busy tayo, right? Especially mga bivocational pastors. So here's what I'm going to suggest. Aim to read a whole book of the Bible in one, at least, weekend. Diba? Wag ngayon, kasi nasa conference tayo, yung simulan ngayon. Aim to read a whole book of the Bible in one weekend. Halimbawa, read Genesis, you know, in all those chapters in one weekend. Simulan mo ng Saturday morning, kung kailangan ka matapos, bookmark, balikan mo sa hapon, balikan mo sa gabi, then Sunday, balikan mo sa gabi. Read a whole book. You know, or Deuteronomy, or Jeremiah, or the book of John, or even, simulan nyo, mga pastor, kung pastor kayo, it is always good to read the pastoral epistles. Okay? Tatlong book lang yan. It would not take, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, yung tatlong books na yan. Use an audio Bible. We live in a time na ang dami nating technology, right? I am pro-technology. Okay? Technology is good. I know it can be bad, but use technology to work for you. Don't work for the technology. Use it to work for you. Use an audio Bible. ESV, actually ESV app, offers free subscription 1 year. Kapag nasa labas ka ng US. Imagine like free audio Bible with resources, with commentaries. Nandun lahat. Okay, this is not paid partnership, but Crossway, kung nakikinig ka, I'm accepting some donors. Okay, but no, it's a good app. Panglima, use podcasts, right? That helps you understand the Bible better. Ang daming podcast, okay? Huwag kayong makinig ng mga walang saysay na podcast, but look for good, solid podcast. Isa sa mga helpful sa akin, I'm sure there's more good resources, pero isa sa mga helpful is yung Bible Talk from 9 Marks. It's a solid resource. Para kayong nakikinig ng commentary and mayroong discussion with several scholars like Jim Hamilton and Sam Amadi. Napakaganda. So, and by the way, I'm gonna flash some resources mamaya. You can take that as you go. And then last, you should aim to be studying the books you will be preaching 3 to 6 months ahead, at least. Okay? I know that's an ambitious goal, but it is a good goal. Gaya na sabi ko kanina, find me a man who preaches solid sermons, and I'm gonna give you a man who studied and labored hundreds of hours on his desk. Nakita na natin kanina from Dr. Sam Parkinson. He's young. He's 34. Would you believe that? He's 34. He's, bakit siya nakapagturo ng ganun? He spent his life studying, laboring, chewing, digesting the Bible. He's worked hard enough to expand his biblical theology. He strengthened his systematic theology. And he drinks chai with the early church fathers, Cyril of Alexandria, Gregory of Nazianzus, Tertullian. You know, kaya ganun yung breadth ng church history niya. Right? So be like Dr. Sam. Just joking. But it is a good aspiration. It's not about kung gano'n na tayo katanda. Right? It is about how much time we spend growing in our study of God's Word. Okay. Actually, sa points yun, ha? Ito yung pangalawa. So, develop a lifestyle. So, pag sinabi ko lifestyle, incorporate nyo sa buhay nyo. Maybe go for a walk, go for a run. Plug in your audio Bible, di ba? Plug in podcasts. And habitually, I mean, you know, make it a habit to incorporate God's Word sa inyong mga buhay. Ako minsan, kahit naghugas ako ng pinggan, naka audio Bible ako eh. Kasi si Mrs. eh, maghugas ka ng pinggan, okay. Di ba? Wala kasi kami dishwasher kayo kasi mga rich kid yata kayo eh. Okay, number two, take every possible opportunity to grow. Okay? So, find someone who would mentor you. Okay, ito, medyo mahirap sa atin to. Kasi it takes humility to say, yes, Pastor Rocco, but I need help. I need a mentor. I need a discipler. It takes humility to say, I need help. Right? So find someone. Di ba pwede natin sabihin, eh, pastor na ako, bakit kailangan pa ako magpa-mentor? Di ba sa mga baguhan lang yun? Kaya mo sila. No, it takes humility. And sometimes it's hard. But it's gonna be good for your soul and it's gonna be good for your hearers. Second, you know, I mean, sub point two, enroll in a seminary like Gulf Theological Seminary, Marshall Booth, Salabas, and learn from godly and sound preachers and teachers. And Dr. Sam, take that opportunity. I know we are all busy and, you know, you want to find your schedule, you want to speak to your spouse, kung paano nyo i-manage, but if you can, please, it is a great opportunity. Sa Pilipinas po, napakahirap maghanap ng sound seminary. I think Gulf Theological Seminary is one or the first sa Gulf region, a solid theological seminary sa region. Then, read biblically sound books. Diba? Kung hindi nyo alam kung anong mga books na pwede nyo basahin, check out Theology Matters. Meron din silang booth. Sa Labas, this is not a paid partnership with Theology Matters, but if you are listening, I am willing. You can also use audiobooks. Kung hindi siya magbibigay ng sponsor mamaya, mag-audiobooks na lang kayo. Okay? Now, check out Audible app. So both, you know, read printed books, good solid books, and then yung Audible app. Huwag kayong magbasa ng mga walang saisay na libro. Maraming books, okay? Hindi lahat helpful. You have to be discerning. Ito ba helpful sa akin or puro pampagandalan ng pakiramdam? Okay? Stay away from prosperity teachings. Go with what the Word teaches. And there are books to actually help you increase your knowledge of the Bible. And then continue attending biblically sound conferences and trainings. Kagaya nito. Diba? May mga conference na solid. And I think Crossroads Church of Dubai are gonna launch a pastoral training center soon with a goal to help pastors, especially mga bivocational pastors and leaders. So keep an eye on that. So nagbablas si Pastor Alvin kasi hindi pa niya sure kung matutuloy yata eh. Matutuloy na, in-announce na natin eh. Okay? Okay, so yun po, that's the holiness in our study. Pastors, we need to be holy in our study. We need to be watchful in our study. I think I took a lot of time. Okay, I'm going to try to finish this quickly. So last, holiness and teaching. So watch your teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. command and teach these things, again, these things, 1 Timothy. Let no one despise you for your youth. I love that Paul said that. Let no one despise you for your youth. Right? It's not about the age. It's not about the length of your pastorate. And, you know, we honor that. We respect that. But it's not always only about that. Okay? There's value in that. But it's not always about that. So Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise you for your youth. I think Timothy is about 35 or 40-ish. Actually, hindi na nga siya bata, di ba? But culturally, they look at him as still youth. Kasi, you know, I think yung iba is 50, 60 plus na. Okay, but, ganito mahalaga kahit bata ka. But set the believers an example. Okay, you need to be examples. Hindi pwede yung sinasabi natin, eh, hindi yung nakikita sa buhay natin, mga kapatid. You need to be example in speech, sa iyong pananalita, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Napakalaga niyan. I know Pastor Albie will talk about more about purity. Now, here's I want you to focus on. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy, when the council of elders lay their hands on you, diba? When they ordain you as pastor, do not neglect that. You're a pastor. God made you a pastor. The church has affirmed that. Do not neglect that. Focus on this. Verse 15. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Pakinggan niyo yung mga ginagamit na words ni Paul. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. 16. Keep a close watch on yourself. Keep a close watch on your life and on the teaching. Watch your life, watch your doctrine. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Kita yung mga ginamit niya? Practice these things. Immerse yourself. Keep a close watch on yourself. Persist. Yan po ang, kaya nga diba, being a pastor is a laborious job because we spend a lot of our time studying. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this passage. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Okay, we know that. But I want to focus on verse 1 first. Paul is actually calling God as a witness. Kay Timothy. Why he is to judge the living and the dead. In a sense, Paul is saying, you will be accountable to God who is the judge of the living and the dead. So, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Ano po ibig sabihin nun? In season and out of season. Meaning, when things are going great, in season, lahat nakikinig, lahat gusto ka, lahat nagpa-praise God, preach the word. Out of season, when people are despising you, are persecuting you, or disagreeing with you, or criticizing you, your job is to still preach. Hindi nakabase sa emotion mo. And napansin nyo siguro to, when nandun kayo sa season ng preaching, dyan nangyayari lahat ang problema, di ba? Nag-away kayo ni Mrs., yung mga anak nyo, mga pasaway bigla, napasigaw ka, diba? Oh, ito may mga kulang na naman yung budget natin. This month, distracted ka, diba? So that is out of season. But Paul is saying, I don't care. Preach. That's our job. Preach in season when things are going good and out of season when things are not going good. Preach. That's your job. Okay? Reprove. Rebuke. Right? Preaching includes reproving and rebuking. Hindi lahat feel good. Di ba? Merong mga ganun. May mga encouraging times, pero merong mga reproving and rebuking. And exhort. Napakahalaga nito ah. With complete patience and teaching. We gotta just rebuke and reprove and then, ay, ang tigas ng ulo itong member na to. Papadala ko na to kay Santanas eh. No. With complete patience. Di ba? And teaching. Why? Verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Okay, yung congregation niya mismo, especially out of season, ayaw nila sa'yo, maghanap sila ng teacher na magsasabi ng magaganda, na maganda sa tenga nila. No, but your job is to preach faithfully. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but as for you, kaya ito yung contrast, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine, meaning healthy doctrine. Don't teach kung ano lang yung mga nararamdaman mo. Teach what accords with sound doctrine. In chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, listen to this, my pastors, in your teaching, show integrity. Again, going back, you need to live out what you're teaching. Okay? Show integrity, show dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. Titus 2:15, last one, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one disregard you. So, hindi pastoral episode to, but Sir James also talks about this. And I think it's important for us, sabi ni James, not all of you should be teachers. Bakit? Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. Kaya sinabi rin, di ba? Yes, aspire to be a pastor, but not all of you should be. Why? For you know that we who teach will be judged. Kaya hindi madali. Di ba? We will be judged with greater strictness. God will judge everyone, but God will judge pastors, teachers with greater strictness. Okay. So, practical applications para sa mga passages na yon. I have 5 and then we're gonna conclude soon. Practical applications to preach and teach faithfully. Number 1, preach expository sermons. Ano ibig sabihin ko doon? Expository sermon is not what I'm doing now. So parang sinabi ko, no? Hindi ko ginagawa yung sinasabi ko. What I'm doing now is a topical sermon. So I have a topic to discuss and I'm showing you some passages to help you see that. But expository sermons, may mga helpful definitions from Brian Chappell sa Tony Evans. Number 1, sabi niya, a message whose structure, hindi nyo kailangan isulat ito, I'm gonna explain it. But a message whose structure, so, expository sermon is a message, okay, whose structure, yung outline, and thought are developed from a biblical text, that means not from your own, covering its scope to explain all the features of that biblical text, okay? And context of the text, kaya nga sabi ko eh, don't just take, you know, 2 verses at a time, you know, the TikTok era, Instagram era. No, because you're going to be out of context. You want to know the context. Disclosed enduring principles for faithful thinking, living, and worshiping intended by the Spirit who inspired the text. So your word is not inspired. God's word is. So don't preach your word. Preach the Bible. Number 2, the meaning of the passage is the message of the sermon. In short, I think I like this definition more. Meaning, yung kung ano yung meaning ng passage na pinipreach mo should be the message of your sermon, not the other way around. Okay? Anong itsura nun? That, you know, you could pick a book of the Bible, go through it verse by verse, then that dictates your sermon. So when you're doing that, you are submitting the agenda from God. Hindi sa'yo. Topical preaching is starting with the topic, di ba, na naisip mo, or you will say, God gave this topic to me and then I'm gonna put a bunch of verses. So that's good. That's what I'm doing now. That's also good. But that should not be a consistent diet of your people. Okay, that's helpful at some point. But that's not helpful in the long run. Expository preaching is going book by book, verse by verse. God sets the agenda, not us. Right? Kung ano yung sabi sa text, yun yung sasabihin mo. Yun yung i-explain mo, yun yung i-apply mo sa congregation nyo. Okay? Preach expository sermons. At least the bulk of your sermons in a year should be expository. In short, it's biblical preaching, if you want to call it that way. It's biblical preaching. Number two, preach Christ and Him crucified. I think this is very self-explanatory. Luke 24 tells us what Jesus said, the law, the prophets, and the writings are talking about Jesus. So if that's the case, we should preach even the Old Testament with our eye on Christ. Right? Old Testament is not a bunch of rules and regulations na para sa ating araw-araw na buhay, but it is it's talking about Christ and it is fulfilled in Christ. Therefore, preach Christ and Him crucified. We dare not treat the Bible as a bunch of rules and regulations. Mga kapatid, the Bible is a story. It is a story. Alam niyo ba yan? It is a story. Not a bunch of rules. It is a story of God's, going back kanina, the holy, holy, holy triune God. It is a story of God's redemptive purpose through the perfect life and atoning death and the glorious resurrection and intercession of Christ. That's what the Bible is all about. It's not a feel-good message. It's not an inspirational message. So what I don't mean dito sa sinabi ko is preach the same message every single day or every single week. What I'm saying is work hard through those Old Testament passages and see Christ. Don't just look at a bunch of rules and regulations. See Christ. How is that fulfilled in Christ? And now those who are united in Christ share that with the triune God. So that's what I mean. So we need to work hard to bridge the gospel to those passages. Especially even in New Testament. You know, pagdating sa epistles, more on, parang, ah, mga rules lang to. Kaya kayo, that ito, gawin nyo. No. Every sermon should be a Christ-centered sermon. It's all about Christ, not about us. Number three, preach God's word as it is the word of God. Mga kapatid, let us not tamper the word of God. Sabi nga ni Paul, di ba? We are not peddlers of the word of God. Gaya na nabanggit ko kanina, have that holy fear. Think of this. We are handling eternal destiny here. Either, mga kapatid, you would lead your congregation to eternal damnation or eternal life. And you will be accountable. We will be accountable. So preach with one eye on God's agenda, and then also preach with another eye with your people. No, you don't just talk about the theology and the doctrine. It needs to be applied in your congregation. Okay? I love theology. But I think even Dr. Sam's preaching kanina is a really great model. He's preaching about the holiness, the big theology of God, and then practical applications sa atin. Okay, number four, preach through suffering. If you preach like this, expository sermon, faithful sa word, marami sa mga member niyo will not like you. Okay? Baka may mga umalis. Kasi hindi mo na kinakamot yung makakating tenga nila. That's okay. Be faithful. O ano ang tinawag sa inyo ng Lord. You will not be accountable for them. You will be accountable doon sa mga mag-stay. Okay? Let them leave. Have your doors open wide kung gusto nilang umalis. But you preach in season and out of season. Lastly, preach to raise leaders. 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about this. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. When we're preaching, when we're teaching, we also need to remember and to aim to pass this knowledge sa ibang ministers, to teach them, to entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So preach with that aim. Preach to raise leaders. Yes, to build up, encourage, rebuke your people, and also to a specific group, preach to raise more leaders in your church. Okay? I'm gonna conclude this message. Balik ako dun sa Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just gonna read it. Just to remind us. Ephesians chapter 3. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That is glorious, Mahabadi. That's our job, brother pastors and aspiring pastors. That's our job. And before I end, I think there's a last slide. You should see some of the resources there. So you can flash that. But then I'm going to close in prayer, and maybe let's give that up for a few seconds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your living and enduring word who equips us in godliness, in our study, in our doing it, and in our teaching. Father, I pray that these brothers and sisters would look past me and just see the glory of your Son, Jesus. Oh, Spirit, may you convict our hearts and give us humility. Some of this are hard things to receive, but I pray that you would give us a spirit of humility to receive this, not as my word, but as your word, Lord. We thank you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.